it's clear to me that you were not ready for this.
What in the blue was that?
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Are you ready for some meatballs?
Is that the best you can do?
Welcome to the Meatball Composer. The Bears just got trounced by the New Orleans Saints 21-9. Thanks to a really spectacular catch by Jimmy.
I call Graham. A party foul. I am referring to the score as 21-3. Thank you.
Okay.
That's what the real game was.
That is Mark Jansen with me, as always, for Talking Bears. And oh my goodness, Mark, where do we start with this? Because so many things were just bad, were just awful. Did this look like a game where a coach was coaching for his job and players were playing for their jobs? Like, what was that?
Thoroughly outclassed on every level as an organization, as a coaching staff, and as a football team. That was a plain as day difference between a pretender and a contender for Super Bowls. Because here's where I want to start. And I do want to do the game, so don't let me go crazy here.
Right.
But I want the Bears standard and the question the Bears owners, the McCaskey family, are asking are we closer to a Super Bowl with choice A or choice B or whatever? Right, I don't want to be content with, well, they made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. That's good. That's a start. But the way they made the playoffs this year matters to me, especially when you see how the game went. And I think the other thing we have to get out in front of right away, and we definitely should do the game next, but don't make decisions based on just this one game. But this one game is a horrifying microcosm of the Pace Nagy era, or at least of the last 2 years.
Yeah. And like you said, how they made the playoffs matters because they had the same record this year as last year.
Yeah, they actually aren't making any progress. The league just added another team, and they'll probably add another team in the near future. That doesn't make you a Super Bowl contender, and that's what the standard should be.
It absolutely should be. Okay, let's talk about the game. I got to tell you, when I saw Wims drop that ball, perfectly thrown – that was a perfect – downfield pass from Mitch. Perfect.
He finally throws a perfect deep ball.
It was
beautiful.
And right through his hands. Right through Wims' hands. And you know what? There was the play before that, I think, where Wims caught the ball on the sideline, fell out of bounds, and then dropped the ball as he went out of bounds, and they had to, you know, review it.
Yeah, it was a good catch.
So two plays like in a row.
Yeah, well, it was a play or two. I think there was a run in between or something. But, either way, it doesn't matter. If it was this, I sent you and my cousin and a couple other people that text that was basically like, they're not going to recover from that drop.
They didn't.
And they didn't. They do not have enough opportunities to make big plays against real defenses that they were not going to recover from it. And I knew it the second it happened.
And they didn't even try most of the game. That's something that really bothered me was that there were no attempts to go downfield.
Yeah.
At all, the whole game. I mean, 3rd and 8. Okay, we're going to throw a 3-yard pass here. The Saints are ready for it.
The big questions I have then would be, like, if I was a Chicago media member and I got to Zoom Matt Nagy after the game, I would ask him, can you articulate what the game plan was, specifically offensively? Because on 3rd down, Mitch kept throwing short of the sticks by several yards. Was that because – you thought there were yards after the catch opportunities, or was that Mitch being indecisive? You know, you're probably moving on from him. Let's get a real answer because I need to know about the coach too.
Yeah.
And because the Saints linebackers are not good in coverage and they didn't expose that at all. And they didn't go deep hardly at all.
No.
It looked good at first. I was like, all right, we're coming out pretty good. That drop was the backbreaker. But you still saw a good first half from the Bears defense, especially the second quarter. Mm-hmm. Now, there were issues with other things in the defense, but they held them to like 20 yards in the second quarter. You're like, you're still in the game. And then the other thing I just can't get away from. So the Wims drop, there's the Miller undisciplined stupidity, mm-hmm. and the Bears are always the dumber team. Mm-hmm. And then coming out of the half and just getting blasted like we see so often. Bottom line is, good teams come out of the half and do what the Saints did, and the Bears do what the Bears did, because the Bears are their own little monster of a team. Neither good nor bad, but a thoroughly mediocre Bear borderlining on bad. Even when coaching matters, we see them stink time and time again. And coming out of the half is a coaching matters situation.
And going into the half, they had to before halftime, they had all their timeouts. They didn't even try to get down the field to get some points. Not even to get into field.
Not even a real effort. And so I need to know, how much of this is Trubisky? How much of it's Nagy? How many more times are they going to get a pass because of each other? I mean, the offense was so bad. No running game. And the Saints said, look, you guys have had this cute play action bootleg running game offense. We're not going to let that beat us, because we're going to shut down the running game. And that's what they did.
Exactly what they did. The Bears, let's see. David Montgomery had 12 carries for 31 yards. That's a 2.6 average.
The other reason it – yeah, go ahead.
I was saying a long run of 6 yards. And Carter – I don't even know who Carter is.
the guy they signed. Ted Ginn had no interest in catching punts. And
okay. They signed,
fumbled, so then Carter was the third punt returner for the year, basically.
Ryan Nall had one carry for no yards, and why he had it when he did is, again, just mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling.
So,
I want to do the big picture so badly. We have to stick with the game, or we're going to get lost in the big picture.
Your best runner today was Mitch. 3 carries for 10 yards.
And he runs out of bounds on fourth down.
Oh, bad field awareness. Ugh.
He's still a football robot who needs a new firmware update desperately.
And that happened right after the wind dropped, too.
Post, Chris. He is. Just not football smart. He's never going to be at this rate either.
It doesn't seem like it. Every time I thought, okay, now he's learning, then back to the
– throwing the ball, he was fine. But his reading the D was terrible, and his field awareness and situational awareness were back to terrible. And I think it's plain as day to almost everybody I've talked to. You probably have some goof on Facebook who doesn't agree, but – plain as day to me that over the last couple of weeks, Matt Nagy has taken more control of play calling again.
Oh, my gosh.
Whenever we get, bad, confused Mitch, it's easy to make that leap, but it just looks an awful lot like the Matt Nagy stuff again, doesn't it?
It does, and it was so bad that even Danny Parkins, captain of the Nagy cheerleading squad, did in all caps, "Why are you punting here? This is the playoffs," post on Twitter.
Yep.
Like, that's how bad it was, that even –
yeah. I don't even mean the decision.
A2 Parkins.
I mean, he's always going to make the fourth down call. It's the play calling within the series in any given drive. It's like, oh, this is Nagy again. And you got Mitch looking like crap and not looking at half the field back there in the shotgun, looking like he's, about to pass out, trying to think too hard. And it's like, yep, this is a marriage that needs to end in divorce.
Yeah.
In the worst way at this point.
All right. And, really, but who's
better for Mitch than Mitch for this team next year is still a problem. Anyway, more on that in a minute. Go ahead.
Well, clearly, I think not having Roquan hurts.
Injuries are a big story.
And not having Jalen Johnson hurt. But you and I were both on the same page that Pagano's going to get fired no matter what. So
got to be gone.
Even with those two gone, that doesn't help him.
Even though the D was better this game than last, his defense.
With one exception.
I know. Go ahead.
What the heck happened to Eddie Jackson?
I don't know.
What the heck?
I don't know. I think he doesn't play hard for Pagano, or he's confused. And I don't like the whole, he's not trying. I hate that narrative. Hate that narrative. Just like the D being tired. Because how the heck do I know? But he looks lost. Right. He looks off. Something's wrong. And he's too important to continue to just allow it to persist. And the pass rush isn't great either, though they did have a ton of hits today. Mac gets a sack and they get a bad holding call to get rid of it. But the defense deserves a lot of grief too, even though this was your classic Nagy Bears game where the defense did well enough to win. But come on, the Saints held the ball for like 40 minutes. They just trounced the defense in the second half.
Sure did. And I know some people will say, oh, the defense is on the field too long. You know what did you see the Saints third down conversion rate? 11 of 17.
I mean, if you want to actually analyze the game, this game is won on third down on both sides of the ball by the Saints. The Bears were 0 for 9 until the last garbage time drive. and the Saints were around 60 or something percent. That's the game. That's the game.
Yeah, seeing that stat, like at like that was the Bears' 9. First third down completion of the game when there's like 38 seconds on the clock or something. Like, come on.
Our coach is an offensive mind.
Offensive what? Guru.
Oh, gosh.
The most prepared coach that Andy Reid
And ever again,
had.
This is what they do against real teams time and time again. The only one they beat was Tampa. And that was basically a Herculean effort by the D-line. The only one we got all year.
The only one. And it was, yeah, the only game where Hicks seemed to be getting pushed up front in the middle.
Yeah, he got neutralized most of the time today. I'm really tired of him tackling a running back and thumping his chest like he's accomplished something and then getting stood up in the pass pro. But he's also double-teamed. They miss Eddie Goldman. You might as well call that an injury out for the year. They missed Roquan fiercely. Manti Te'o is terrible. He just stands there and gets blocked. It's amazing.
He was talking to his girlfriend.
Yeah, the only place he gets blocked more is Tinder. But this guy's awful. But, I mean, if you've got Roquan out, your defense is going to be worse. But that doesn't excuse the brain-dead quitting coverage kind of stuff. And I should have the defense did okay because they had a really strong first half. And then, the wheels fell off a little bit in the second half. But
yeah, stupid
they can't get off the field on third down. And other than the Drew Brees sneak that failed, they don't do well in the red zone lately. But the third down D is terrible. And that's, again, I think when your coach now matters, he's got a scheme of play for what they're trying to do. And he fails time and time again. And they don't execute. And their effort is hard to see consistently.
Yeah. He also had the Eddie Jackson 4th and 2 offsides, which gets a first down for the Saints, followed by a touchdown. So
just a live update. We're not 5 minutes in, and there are 2 Pittsburgh turnovers, including a touchdown for the Cleveland defense, and now an interception at midfield on a brutal decision and throw by Roethlisberger.
Those powerhouse Browns.
Go Browns.
How can you not root for the Browns?
You got to be rooting for the Browns.
I'd be thrilled.
The only thing I've got is the Browns fans that I'm friends with on Facebook from various, schools and people I went to school with and stuff. I root for them for the Browns, but then I remember they're also the Ohio State fans, and I'm like, man, maybe I don't want to root for them. Now I'm torn. But back to the Bears.
Bears.
So a couple other things on the game. There's never an answer for the team taking away Montgomery. Never. It's like, oh, well, guess we'll just be bad at passing the ball now as well. And the Breeze sneak, someone needs to slap Jim Nantz because that was goofy. He's like, oh, he's in. He's totally in. Look at how much I love Drew Brees. Oh, he's one of the greatest ever. That was a touchdown because it was Drew Brees. It was like 3 inches away from the goal line on 2 of the 3 camera angles. Like, it was not particularly close. He kept saying the tip of the ball, but the way Brees was holding it, the wide part of the ball was actually closest. The tip was too high. That's the reason it wasn't a touchdown, actually. It was, and Grom was just like, here, not so much. that was just awkward. He just desperately wanted Drew Brees to get a QB sneak up 21-3, and I can't figure out why.
Yeah, there's a lot of these guys want – they have the narrative written before the game starts, and they try to do everything they can to shape the game to fit the narrative they want.
No, I'm talking about the broadcasters, not the refs.
Oh, them too, okay.
I went there.
There's another one.
Point on the refs. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It was not a terribly called game. They got a lot of replays right, I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought the PI when Mac had the sack was pretty bogus. Mm-hmm. But
he didn't turn his head, so that they're going to call it.
No, that was the other one. The PI was on Shelley or somebody. You're thinking of the
Trevathan one. Oh, I'm thinking of the Trevathan one. Yeah, never mind. My bad.
I do think there's a certain tendency for the team with the, like, established great veteran to get calls or something.
No, that would mean that the Packers always get favorable calls.
Right, exactly my point.
And the Patriots got them for years, too. And I don't remember the Colts well enough if they did. But, I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Yep. So, I don't know. Just a kind of miscellaneous thought. Not that there was – that was a basically well-called game overall, I thought. The I don't. Do you have anything else on the game? I was pretty miserable watching that second half.
I expected them to lose, but I didn't expect them to lose like that. That was just soul crushing. You know,
I thought they'd keep it closer and do a little more offensively, but I knew they'd lose.
They looked like the six game losing streak team today. And yeah, I said, the Saints were the better team. There's no question about that. I don't think they win even with Roquan and Mooney and Johnson.
No, they didn't lose because of the injuries, but it was maybe uglier because of the injuries. Don't you think the Wims drop goes to Mooney if he's playing?
Probably. Yeah. He's not good in, so he would have had that. But that's not why they lost. And I really, really, really hope that that's not used as a reason. Like, well, they're missing some key people, so we're going to bring everybody back.
All right. I have a fun game for you as we start to move towards the bigger picture. Is that fine?
Yes.
The less we say about that game, the better. Let's play who just played their last game as a Bear. The hit game sweeping the nation. Okay, Allen Robinson.
I'm going to say no.
I hope not, because you saw what the other receivers minus Mooney were capable of.
Yep, I think they work something out. I do.
Javon Wims.
Done.
Anthony Miller.
Done.
All right. Done. Riley Ridley, or whatever his name is.
Gosh, you know, why can't he get on the field?
After Javon Wims' drop, we only saw Ridley catch one pass. He should have been, like, the number two receiver at that point.
Caught two tonight.
Yeah. After Miller's ejection. He caught two passes late. Yeah, I don't know. I think they got to give him a little more run, and he's still not, like, about to be cut or up for a contract or anything. All right, sticking to pass catchers, Jimmy Graham.
He's done.
All right.
But what an end! What an exit.
Fred, that was his time. That was so great. The only part of the game that I enjoyed was Jimmy Graham with an absolutely magnificent catch and just being like, this was pointless.
And
just
runs into the locker room. That was awesome.
Like, it was a totally, like, mocking that the Bears were even bothering at that point.
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hey, how about the Bears? Are the Saints covered because the Bears didn't get to try an extra point? Is it 11-point spread?
Oh, that's right. It was a 10.5. Was it 10 or 10 and a half?
It was 11 by kickoff because of the injury news, I guess. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Wow. That the fix is in, my friend. Where's the extra point?
It's a conspiracy.
So, back to the game.
They only counted illegal points. They
didn't. All right, Bobby Massey. Trick question, he didn't play. Is he gone, though?
No, probably not. I think.
I think he makes about $10 million. I think he's gone.
Oh, okay. I was going to say
Charles Leno.
Oh gosh, I hope he's gone.
All right.
That might be a contract problem, though, right? Isn't he a guarantee?
Yeah. All right, Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch is done.
Mitch is done. We've been advocating for Mitch based on the old Bill Lazor offense.
Yeah.
The new Bill Lazor offense, which is now the old offense, because now we're going back to the old new Matt Nagy bad offense. Mm-hmm. The way that marriage ends is probably Trubisky's gone. I don't think he'll want to come back. I think he's gonna. They would have to blow him out of the water with the money. I think he wants to go.
And I get it. I get it.
I do too. I am still very worried about the idea that they're going to find someone better for next year because the defense has too much invested in it for me to believe that they'll tank. And I don't know who the QB out there is that's actually available that's better. But he's bad.
They could just say we're gonna go with Foles.
I can hear it now. They'll have a full off season. We're gonna run 202 with Nick Foles.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, to see Foles next year with drafting a quarterback. I guess probably not in the first round. They're all gonna be gone by. They have the 20th pick. That was solidified today. There's only the 20th pick.
Yeah. No. I mean, they'd have to trade up to get one of the top ones, and they still desperately need a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could totally see it. Nick Foles as a stopgap. Nick Foles saying, this is my year.
And he
slaps it on the table.
Big, tall Glennon vibe going. All right. So,
this is my year.
Tashaun Gibson.
I think he's still around.
bring him back. Okay. Kyle Fuller.
Still wrong.
You don't buy the cutter trade to save money. All right. Hakeem Hicks.
He just hasn't been good, but has he been hurt? I don't know.
Will he take a pay cut to have it extended? I think he's gone if he doesn't redo his deal.
Yeah.
But he might. And big guys just don't age great, as we all know.
All right, I had to take care of some quick technical difficulties. But, yeah, back to the Bears. And who's back next year?
The hot game. Let's see. We did Hicks. He's the toughest call we've got so far, I think.
Yeah.
A-Rob's the toughest to make happen, but we all want him back. Even though he had a weird year, he's still way better than anyone else they have at the position, and which includes two utter morons who need to go. So you're going to have a lot of holes in that receiving core if you're not careful. All right. Eddie Jackson, you're whipping safety here. Who's not been doing well.
He's not the same
player. He got whooped this year by running backs, receivers, all kinds of people breaking his tackles, and something's wrong.
He had a bad year all year. He looks – I don't want to say he's afraid of contact, but he's sure not interested in contact.
He's all over the place. He had a couple really good tackles today, a couple terrible ones, and he just is not making impact. But you can't really do anything with that new extension. Like, he's back.
Yeah.
He's back, and you got to hope that they will be all like, we got a new coordinator, and he'll be better. Again, I can hear it now.
Mm.
I think everyone else is more or less young. Oh, wait, no, Danny Trevathan.
No, he's done. I don't think he'll be back.
I don't know who the replacement is. Watching those guys try to replace Roquan, I don't know that I want any of them trying to replace him either. Fine with him being gone. Don't know what they'll do there. Cairo Santos.
Oh, you gotta sign him and dump.
Pay that man.
Yeah.
All right.
He had the best kicking season a Bears kicker's ever had, by the numbers at least.
Yep. Now we come to the heart of the matter, where we could probably chat till, you know, work tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Nagy. Pagano, we know. Done. We'll just skip right to Nagy.
He should be gone. He should be, because he's supposed to be the offensive guru, and 3 years in a playoff game, and that offense was garbage. And it wasn't just because our number two receiver was hurt. Or is he even the number two? Is he the number three?
Again, I submit to you, there's no reason to do anything based on one game. You've got 6 years of Pace and 3 years of Nagy of data, right? This game is just a great example of everything wrong with Matt Nagy as a head coach.
I agree. The question is, does George McCaskey agree?
Right. I have no idea. Are you closer to a Super Bowl if you fire Matt Nagy?
I don't think you're farther away. But no, I mean, like I said, 3 years in and there's no improvement. The offense is still bad after 3 years.
Most damaging of all is he's supposed to be the QB guru, and the QB's still terrible. And the things he's terrible at are the things you're supposed to coach up.
Yeah,
right.
The
processing and knowing the offense and reading his own.
The way
I don't think I want him anywhere near another QB.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was gonna say. The only way he stays is if he's able to convince George that, well, I need my quarterback. I inherited Mitch. I didn't get to,
That's what he's going to do, all right? I mean, it's got to be his strategy.
And it could work.
So the leadership for you doesn't do enough to cover up the rest of it. The whole, they stuck through it and survived the 6-game losing streak. And let's throw a bunch of leadership bouquets at him. Doesn't do anything for you?
No. I mean,
I think it's a good thing, but I'd rather have a coach who's good enough at the X's and O's to not have a 6-game losing streak culminating with losses to teams like the Vikings and Lions.
Yeah.
See, it's one thing to lose 4 straight to more talented teams like the Titans and the Saints and the whoever else we lost to that was
Packers,
good. Rams,
Vikings, Lions.
Packers, Rams. It's another thing to add tack 2 on to the Vikings and Lions for various reasons. Lions, of course, it was the defense, but the fumble. I don't know. I'm still torn on Nagy. I think it's very possible that they could do much worse and thus be further from a Super Bowl. But it's equally clear to me that the odds that Matt Nagy puts it all together during his first head coaching gig with this franchise and this roster is so minuscule that they might be better off just ripping off the Band-Aid and starting over ASAP.
That's what I would do, but yeah, it's not.
And I know it's tough. 2 out of 3 playoffs is the thing all the broadcasters say incessantly. And overall, 8 games above .500. But that has got to be contextualized. Sorry, it's my historian in me. They were 12-4 that year because of Vic Fangio, not Matt Nagy.
Correct.
Nagy had something to do with some of the leadership and the fun play calls on the goal line, I guess. But everybody knows that defense is why they won 12 games. And that defense was basically just given to Fangio to get him to stay with no outside interference. Everyone knows this. These are not up for debate. Mm-hmm. And so then you're looking at, well, this is a pretty mediocre outfit. And in game, he's so bad during the games.
Mm-hmm. And like we mentioned earlier, it sure looks like he's taken over play calling again. And what made the team better was when he wasn't doing that.
And he was a better in-game coach.
Correct. That's what I'm going with this.
His stubbornness is never going to be
exactly
something you can trust to have gone away.
Exactly. I cannot trust Nagy to make the right decisions in the what's best for the team. He wants to be the genius. He wants to be the guy who brought this great offense over. It's his offense, and look what I'm doing. And I hate to say these things, but that's just based on how the teams looked and the decisions that have been
okay.
made. He couldn't wait to get Nick Foles in earlier in the season to run his offense because Foles knows that offense. He couldn't wait. And arguably that hurt the Bears this season.
Can I play Danny Parkins or a devil's advocate? Or, I mean, Danny Parkins.
Sure. Yes.
Didn't today show you the low ceiling of the reinvented offense with the running back taken away? They couldn't do any of the boot and any of that stuff anyway. So Nagy's right that they have to be able to run a real big boy pocket passer, read the field offense to have a chance at a Super Bowl. So isn't he actually right?
No.
Do we care if it's good for the team? If it just gets you to .500, who cares?
But there are other teams that run that offense. It's a classic NFL offense.
Okay. I'm not. I agree with you. I'm just trying to make sure we look at it from every angle.
Yeah, but
the Titans stunk at their version of it today.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. That is fair. But we've seen Nagy trying to run the big boy offense, and it was terrible.
Is that the QB?
Well, he tried it with Foles,
that's
too.
That's the bit. See, this is the thing. I said it way back, and I'm kind of circling back to it. That's why I did all this. I think that actually the thing that might get Nagy fired, if he's fired, which I don't think is happening, but if he's fired, I think it might be Foles. Because he brought in his QB, and it was no better.
Mm-hmm. It was worse.
It was much worse.
Yep.
And the O-line was really bad at that time, too. But still, I could see that being the thing. Because that was like the big excuse was Mitch. And then he kind of cut his own feet out from under him by doing that. It's just kind of ironic, I guess. And maybe apropos even. But, okay. The last in our game, maybe. I might do one more. Ryan Pace.
Oh, I think Ryan's gone. There were rumors that Brad Biggs had that nugget that Ryan Pace's future would be linked to how the Bears did today, which is stupid.
But I could see them being that stupid, though.
Biggsy,
he also had the nugget that they were going to hire Bergonzi and make Pace a business guy. Does him being a business guy count as gone in your mind if there's a new football ops guy?
Yeah, I think so.
You okay with that?
I'd be okay with it. I don't think Pace is the problem. I've been pretty consistent about that. I think I like.
Yeah, you have. What's his worst decision besides the Mitch pick?
The Mike Glennon.
It only cost you for like a year and 4 games. Yeah. Even not even a year, really. And the money was irrelevant.
But it relates to picking a quarterback.
Is it Quinn?
Probably. He had what, 1 sack all year? 2 sacks. You paid him a lot of money to try to hopefully make Khalil Mack better or free up Mack better.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, we can block him with one person. What are you talking about? Letting Leonard Floyd go?
No, but that looked like the right call.
It did. And it's hindsight to say it wasn't. What really was a sad day was letting Brandon Staley go. They could do anything over besides Mitch. I think they would keep Brandon Staley and make him D coordinator now that you saw what he's done with the Rams. Mm. Also, hindsight is 2020.
Right.
So does his late round drafting is saving him for you? What about bad extensions?
I don't think late round drafting will save him. No, I don't.
No. So. Okay. But what if you were in charge?
If I were in charge, you do have to see better, picks at the top.
And if they're able to land a top candidate like Bergonzi, I'm totally fine with this business idea. Because he does know football better than Ted Phillips, the current guy doing it, who I desperately would love to get rid of because I think he meddles. And there's too many people connected to the team who think he meddles. Mm-hmm. Pace meddling wouldn't be as bad because at least he's done the job a little. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'd all be able to make better decisions together. But at the same time, if you're going to bring in a football czar and he's still answering to a guy like Pace, did you bring in a football czar?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And if you bring in a football czar, but you're going to tell him to keep Nagy, did you bring in a football czar?
Yeah, we had that problem with Dick Geron.
And Lovey.
Yeah, but yep. Mm-hmm.
This is the same organization, Chris, that hired Phil Emery and then kept Lovey for a year and then hired Mark Trestman. I mean, you want to know the difference between the Saints and the Bears. It doesn't even start with Drew Brees. It starts with Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton. Yeah. The Saints have reinvented themselves two or three times during this run.
That's why I think...
And Brees is there. Don't get me wrong. That's a huge part of it. But yeah. Good organizations get QBs right.
Yeah.
Because they keep taking shots at them. And the Bears, take one every 10 years and then just have a bunch of crap at the position in between.
I think...
Cutler, pile of crap. Trubisky, what's next?
Yeah. And I think...
Trubisky's not much above the pile.
I would rather that either... they both go or they both stay than keeping one or the other for that reason.
That's kind of what I'm worried about. That's why I bring it all up. I'm kind of lost as to what they should do in terms of what gets them closer to the Super Bowl. But what I don't want is a similar process that continues to get terrible results. And I think that's actually where this is headed. Either get rid of them both or keep them both and just get rid of Pagano. But whatever you do, do not tell us that you hired someone and kept Nagy unless he's got a prior working relationship with Nagy and he likes Nagy and wants to work with him. And that's part of how you got him over better GM jobs because they're almost all better.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be where Bergonzi makes sense. Tell you, if it's not an Andy Reid tree guy, it's going to be really hard to talk yourself into how that went down if they kept Nagy, right?
Right. Yeah. There's got to be something like that that keeps them connected. Yeah.
Holy cow. 21-0 Cleveland.
Those Cleveland Browns, man. Those power.
As we have this huge conversation about the head coach, the team without a head coach is up 21-0. I don't know what to do with that.
They got, they got the quarterback. Baker Mayfield.
No, they got the O-line. Their O-line's amazing.
Right, but what I was going to say is Baker Mayfield is the play action rollout
that same offense.
Quarterback. Yeah.
Yep.
You can do that. Yeah.
I'll be very happy for Mitch when he signs with the 49ers. It'd be a good fit for him.
Yeah. If Nagy's going to stay, and clearly he is reinserting – and yeah, again, I gotta say, don't know this because it's been printed or said anywhere. It just looks like it. It just looks like Nagy's running the offense again.
Oh, I don't know anyone who follows the team religiously who doesn't think the last 3 weeks, the Jacksonville first half, Green Bay, mm-hmm. and this game, I think we all think it was him. But what do any of us know?
It sure looks like it. And if that's the case, why? Why would he willingly make the team look worse when they most need to win?
I disagree with Parkins on the Nagy cheerleading squad, even though he was the guy I wanted them to hire. But Parkins makes the one point that I think Nagy's thinking. I think he's right about this, that Nagy thinks he has to run his stuff to have a higher ceiling. And he's too stubborn to realize it's not true. But I think that's the only reason he would do it.
Despite all the evidence that it's not the case.
Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, there's a lot of that going around, right? Believing stuff without evidence. So
yeah, that's kind of America today.
Sign of the times. Well, we'll probably hear some news tomorrow. So Do you want to touch?
Surely we'll hear that Pagano's gone at least tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's. I feel most confident about that than any other changes. So
I'm just kind of looking around, and there's not any news just yet that I see. I mean, we should probably note that we recorded this like 40 minutes after the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if Nagy's met with the media yet.
Who cares? They're going to throw him softballs anyway.
Not all of them, but he'll dance around the ones that aren't.
Yeah.
Can I ask you one last question?
Good week of practice. And yeah, ask me.
We knew they were going to lose.
Yes.
It was a completely foregone conclusion for me, and I think you. So why do we care so much?
In my mind, yeah. My heart was all meatballed up.
Oh, okay, yeah. you've got the false dichotomy going.
Always. Every Sunday. Every Sunday.
We should rename the podcast that. They'd be like, what does that even mean? It's perfect. No, I'm just playing. Hey, did you send the shirts out yet?
No, I ordered from my guy. He's going to print them and then send them to me, then I'll send them out. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you ordered them. That works.
Yeah. So, anyone listening, let me know if you want a Meatball Composer t-shirt and tell me the size. Yeah.
Tell me what?
The size.
I thought you said this dies. I'm like, what? Roethlisberger threw another interception. Oh, my goodness. They
Big Ben?
Wow. Rounced. Well, that was off the receiver, I think. It's probably 50-50 whose blame, you know, whose fault it is. Pittsburgh. Yep, and Cleveland's got it on, like, the 20.
Wow.
Good. About to be 28-0.
Good for Cleveland. Yeah.
They're coming for you, Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, and the Seahawks are out, so that was my NFC pick. So
I got that upset pick right. I had a great day yesterday. Actually, all my picks were good. Today, let's not talk about it.
Hey, at least you got the Saints game right.
Yeah. That was the one we did.
All right, let's
talk. All right, my friend.
We have more news. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. See you.
Well, what a season. 2020 was going to be weird from the get-go, but boy, we saw three different Bears teams this season. One that was great defensively, but terrible offensively. One that was terrible defensively, but okay offensively. And then one that was just terrible on both sides of the ball. They just never could get things in sync, and not going to happen with this regime. I just don't see it. So thanks again, Mark, for talking Bears today and for the whole season. We'll have to figure out a plan for going forward. Thank you all for listening. Anyone but the Packers, please, right? For the Super Bowl? All right. Thanks. Take care.
You've been meatballed.
You suck, Chris.